faith with a monstrous prayer request and prayer list. And God shows himself evident every week because we also get the praise report. We see that God is moving and healing and trusted in your own situation. It's not just for the stranger that is typed in and said that they're hurting. But it's also for that individual in us, the house that's represented as the body of prayer. We need that for ourselves as we pray for others. And allow the funk, the curse, the lie to be peeled away. Because God gives all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for my husband. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, dear Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, that you constantly move, dear Jesus, that we can count on you for healing, for deliverance, for understanding of your word, dear Lord. You brought us a pastor, dear Jesus, that's devoted to your word and getting a greater understanding that digs a little deeper, dear Lord, that purposed in his heart to learn Hebrew, to learn your language, dear Lord, that we may have a greater understanding, dear Jesus, and has challenged each one of us to do the exact same thing, dear Lord. So help us to take this word on today. Let it do something within us, dear Lord. Let us manifest your glory, dear Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, dear Lord. Like Pastor said today, the joy of the Lord is our strength, dear Lord. So we are being strengthened by your word, by your teaching, by your example, dear Lord, on this Father's Day. We thank you and we bless you. We thank you for the man of God, dear Lord, that came prepared and ready to stay on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the book.
And give me my.
Don't worry. Ooh, did I need the mic too? I sure that we're going to scare somebody today. Hallelujah.
Okay. What's the book?
Hallelujah. The book. Pastors, I need y'all to be in agreement. Is it Bible 101 or is it the S4C Global Services at AOL? Which one?
I don't know. They corrected me.
It's Bible 101.
Is Bible 101 at AOL?
At Gmail.
At Gmail. Bible 101 at Gmail. Hot off the press.
Yeah.
Pastor has added the faith paper to the book that encourages us and reminds us that without faith it's impossible to do anything. And that he also breaks down the Bible. He breaks down the Bible in the terms and what we believe at this church that absolutely lines up with the Word of God. So if you are in doubt and you're in confusion, if you're not sure how to read the Bible, go ahead and use this as a guide. And then don't you dare pick up that Bible. Don't you dare stop trying. Stop pulling yourself away. Instead, find a resource that complements. Amen. That is not destructive to the Holy Spirit, but complements it to what the Word of God is saying.
Amen. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Fire this morning, y'all.
See, you guys are already on fire by the time I get here. It's like I got to catch up. All right. Anyway, I don't want to put sensation on front, but see this cup?
Hey, man, I got one too.
Bro. You got one?
I did.
I wanted to make you jealous.
Nah.
All right.
She loves you too.
She loves you too. All right. Zoe,
man.
Praise God. I love that. I'm not proud.
I'm Gucci. All right. Too.
You too?
I am too.
Oh, man.
They love me too, man.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Here we go. I want to thank everybody. Yom Samek Yom Abba. To all my friends in Israel. I don't know if it's Father's Day there, but it's definitely Father's Day in America.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Okay. Pastor Ben is auctioning off a book. All right. To all our family everywhere, all over the world, which is a blessing, Praise God, he did exactly what he said he would do. International, is that what you told me in the beginning, Pastor Ben?
Worldwide.
Worldwide, yeah, okay. So that's what he told me. Pastor Ben told me first.
Amen.
Yeah, so hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. I want to set up the scenario the way the Lord wants me to set it up. Look, David, how you doing? You good? All right, God bless you guys, man. Love. And so let me set up this scenario for you. Could I do it with a scripture? The Lord, no, the Lord said, no, just do it as a God has set up a very special day. A day in which his son, Jesus Christ, gets married. Okay? He has set this day up to be the most incredible celebration ever, right? And he has set it up where when his bride arrives in heaven, that everything is already prepared and ready to go, right? After the wedding and them coming together, he has set up time between actually coming back to the earth and the millennial. He has set up a 7-year time because he wants to give you a honeymoon or a decent celebration, right? Hebrews says that you've been called to a wedding with surrounding of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels. We've been called to this wedding, right? And he wants those that believe in him and those that have accepted him as Lord and Savior to be a part of this great day. He has also prepared a place for you individually in heaven so he can say, this is your place and this is your place. Okay? So all of this has been set up for one day. For one day to happen and it to be a celebration. The whole world has talked about this since the time of Jesus. If you read in Thessalonians, they were saying that somebody had told them that the Lord had already came. And so even in the book of Thessalonians, they were talking about this incredible day that was going to take place. Jesus told the apostles about it. And so everyone knew about this wedding day that was going to happen between Jesus and the believers in Christ one day. And God set it up that everyone has to wait on this one day. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've been invited to this day.
Yes.
Okay? In order to be there on this day, there are some responsibilities that you have to continue in. You understand? I would never want to give a young lady a ring, tell her I got to go away for a month, but I'll be back to marry her, come back and catch her in a club with no ring on dancing with another guy. Ooh. See, that would be like, okay, wedding's off, right?
Yep.
So there are some responsibilities for us as believers to be ready for this great day. I can't describe it to you. I dream about it. I've had dreams about it, but I can't describe to you how great it's going to be. All I know is you'll be in a body that is resurrected just like Jesus' body, and he will have a bride, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, just like him in a resurrected body. I know that. So all of that is coming to the body of Christ. Okay? And we're waiting on it. And we have a responsibility to be ready when the trumpet blows. Okay? Who would want to miss out on that? No one. So we have an enemy that makes us look at that as being a secondary thing, and life here on earth as being the primary thing. And so when you get distorted in your thinking, you start to put down what's valuable for what's cheap and means nothing. So this is what the Lord has said. This is the setup. I've set this day up. This wedding is coming. The Lord told me this morning, it is impossible for it not to happen. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's impossible for the day not to happen. Like, it was impossible for Israel to not become a nation again. Yeah. It was impossible. Yeah. There's no way it wasn't going to happen. And the Lord says, this day, it's impossible for it not to happen, and it's yours. So hold on to it, because it's very valuable and it's very important, and it's a party you will talk about for eternity.
Yes.
I'm not here today to talk to you, convince you about Pentecost or the wheat harvest or being in the last generation or the great intelligence of God designing the Bible. God said today he just wants to be a father to you and give you life advice. And the life advice is the title of today's message. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. Tell them, I say, be ready. Take it serious. It's time. Be ready. Take it serious. It's time. Okay.
Amen.
We're going to start off in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 41.
What you need,
man? I'm just going to grab my glasses. I'll be back.
Oh, well, already.
You're not far. I know. Two and two.
Some people watch too much TV. All right. I remember teaching a Bible study at work one time. They used to let me teach Bible study at work. At lunchtime, people would come and sit in the conference room, and I would teach Bible study, which should have told me God has other plans for me, right? So one lady was listening to the Bible study, and she said, oh, this is too much truth. I can't be in here. She said, I got to sleep at night. And she got up and walked out. And I have to realize that if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you can't try to please an audience, okay? Because the audience wants to hear what the audience wants to hear, and God wants to say what God wants to say, okay? So this is how I keep it. I'm only going to say what God wants me to say, okay? And I hope you hear, I'm telling you, God has done a miraculous job with my brain. I have no idea how he did it, but there's so much Bible information in this thing, and so much like Christ mentality, is that I was like, Lord, I wish I could pastor the whole world. He's like, well, you know, everybody has different tastes and things like this, and he's got many people all over the world preaching the gospel. And don't think that you're the last one, because there are many. You know, I found one last week that's like excellent Bible teacher, speaks Hebrew better than me. I was like, wow, Lord, you were right. You have many people that are speaking your truth. But this truth that God gave me in 2003 was so profound. It was as if this is my focus, and this is what I want you to focus my church on. I'm having a wedding. Some people have forgot about it. They're naming it and claiming it, and all this stuff they're doing in church. They're shouting and whatever they're doing in church, is that they forgot about my plan for my son for the wedding, and they're a part of it, and you've got to remember that, yes. what you're fighting for. Okay, you and Matthew chapter 24? Yes. Let's go to verse 41. Verse 41 says, two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other one left. That is going to happen. You hear me? Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. The Lord said, these things are going to happen. It's impossible for them not to happen. The day is coming. If it's the day that you're standing on earth, it's going to come. And your job is to be ready for it, because, well, we'll get to it. Here it is. It says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants and the household to give them their food and at proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. How much was this supposed to read? And praise God, he said, read it all. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat the fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Somebody that says one thing and lives another, right? Okay, so I say I'm a Christian. It says where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so God is telling us to watch, and he's telling us to pray. Okay, now remember, the title God gave me is be ready and take it serious. That means you have to put Jesus on the front burner and put other things on the back burner. You understand? You're going to have to put God first. Be ready. Take it serious. It's time. Three things the Lord said to me this morning. It's time was the scariest part. Be ready. Take it serious. It's time. Okay? So, right after Matthew chapter 24, when he's talking about two will be in one place, one taken and the other left, immediately we go into chapter 25. And let's see what he has to say here. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish took their lamps and did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in their jar along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. When did we get this calling, Pastor Ben? 2003, I got this calling. The bridegroom has been taking a long time coming. To the point where I've seen other people fall asleep. I've seen other people fall asleep and go back in the world. Yep. But God wants us to be ready and watch and wait patiently, okay? Looking for his return. Now, it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come to meet him. They all, it says, then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are gone out. Why do they have lighted lamp oil, lighted lamps with oil in them and extra oil just in case it takes longer? Why is it that five of them woke up and went into the wedding feast, and five of them woke up and found out that they weren't prepared? The it's not that, oh, I'm so tired of watching, I'm so tired of being a watchman, I'm so tired of looking, thinking about the rapture, and I get hyped for it, and then it goes away, and then they give me another date, and then it goes away, and I'm just so tired of it, right? So God says, eventually, all of us are going to get tired, yeah. And all of us are going to fall asleep. The problem is, how do you wake up? Do you wake up prepared, or do you wake up unprepared? But God wants to make sure that you're prepared, because he's made this great plan for this great day. Here it is. Okay. Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy oil, they realized they didn't have the 666. And nobody, no, just playing. Because at that time, it won't be easy to just go out and buy oil.
Right.
Okay. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went into the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later, the others also came and said, sir, open the door. But he replied, I tell you the truth. What does your Bible say? Now, watch this. This is why God says to study. The scripture says, I do not edo you. What does edo mean in Greek? I don't see you. I can't perceive where you're at. Okay, so why is it that he couldn't see them or perceive where they were? They had no light. So the important thing that he was telling them in the beginning is to make sure you have oil in your lamp, because when I come, I'm looking for children of light. And without the light, I can't see you. See, he says here, I don't know you. God knows all of us. But when he comes, he's coming for children of light, okay? This is why you're keeping your oil lamp full. This is why you don't believe in lukewarm Christianity, because you're getting prepared and ready for a day, okay? To some people, this is a fantasy. This is why God has had me learn the Bible the way to let you know the Bible's not a fantasy. Everything that came true, he already spoke it. Genesis, Exodus, and you have seen history happen exactly the way Bible said it would happen. So therefore, this is not a fantasy. This is the next thing. Like Israel was the next thing. Jerusalem was the next thing. Trump announcing that Israel, that Jerusalem was the what belongs to the Jews was the next thing. You understand? The rapture is the next thing, but it's all going to happen. And the Lord said to me this morning, it's impossible for it not to happen. You're being fooled and lullabied to sleep, thinking that your life is more important than Jesus. And it's not. You don't have a life now. Your life will appear when God appears. We want so many things in this world that we know won't last. God is trying to give us eternity, and 1,000 years of millennium with him reigning, and we think, well, if that happens, then I'll never have done this, and you get 1,000 years. You think God is like, well, we're going to get rid of everything that humans used to do. It's just going to get cleaned up.
Yeah.
So we have to understand what our future is so that we protect what we have. Because Satan is on a high alert of deceiving people. Mm-hmm. The deception is you don't have to watch and you don't have to be ready. Mm-hmm. Even though the Bible says to watch and be ready.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to really read Thessalonians chapter 4, but I just want you to see what Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about in verse 13 to the end of that. What is that whole thing about? Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to the end, talks about what? The rapture. Okay? It talks about he's going to come down to a cloud. Okay? He's coming down to a cloud. He's going to call up. He says, everybody who has died in Christ will receive resurrected bodies and go up in the cloud to meet with Jesus. Then it says, those who are still walking around will be caught up out of their body into the clouds with a new glorified body to meet with them in the air. The Lord said, it's impossible for that not to happen.
Amen.
Do you understand that? It's impossible for that to not happen. Don't be so human, he said.
Ooh. Wow.
Don't be so human. Because when you think human, you act human. Don't be so human. Have a godly mindset.
Yeah.
Put your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Don't be so human, he said.
Wow.
It's impossible for this to not happen. Who has spoken this thing into existence? Who has spoken history before it happened? Your day is impossible not to happen. So be prepared for it because it's trying to be stolen. Someone's trying to steal it by making you think human.
Wow.
Institutionalized. You ever meet somebody institutionalized?
Yeah.
They don't even think about outside the prison anymore.
Nope.
Everything's about getting enough noodles and putting enough money on my books and getting an extra pair of tennis shoes. Everything in there becomes so institutionalized. And so they get to the point, and I've seen it. I did prison ministry for almost 4 years. I've seen it. They've got so much stuff in their cell, they can barely move around. Noodles and books and magazines and other people owe them stuff, and they better give them what they owe them because they owe me 10 packs of noodles. And they're thinking like human. Prison human, right? Not understanding that there's people that don't even live in prison. They forgot that there's people that don't live in prison.
Yeah.
You might forget that there's some people that's in heaven cheering you on.
Mm-hmm.
You might forget that. Okay.
Amen.
Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about taking you up, right? But listen what Thessalonians chapter 5 says. Now, brethren, about the time and date, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman. Now stop right there, because only time the Bible is talking about labor pains is tribulation. Labor pains is tribulation because somebody's in labor to give birth to her own children. That's the nation of Israel. So understand this. The thief is going to come, and it says, and while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman. and they will not escape. You hear that? Am I supposed to read? I'm trying to see. Oh, yeah, he wants me to read to 10. Okay, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. You hear me? So that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and hope and salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, that we should live. Now, this day should not take anyone by surprise. Yet the scripture says, two will be in one place, one will be taken in another. It says, as in the days of Noah, it will come upon the whole world unexpectedly. That means a whole bunch of people are going to be like, what happened? A lot of people. Now, let me tell you something about the 10 version. The first time I read the 10 version, I'm reading it, and I said, five versions went, five left. I stopped reading, and the Lord says, stop right there. He said, I just prophesied to you. Half of the people that say, I'm a Christian, are not going to be taken. So I'm thinking, what about grace and mercy? What about letting... I'm trying to talk to God. Like, half? And in my mind, I say to myself, so you mean if a million people are gone who say, or are supposed to go, who say they're Christian, 500,000 are going to be left? Exactly. Because they're saying it. They're not living it. Ask anybody on the street, go in the store and say, are you a Christian? And 98% are going to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Because saying it and living it are two different things. But the Lord told me half. Why? Because God is supposed to be in the front. Other things are supposed to be in the back. If you think human, you put other things in the front. You understand? You want all your prison stuff on the front because this is important. Okay? This is important to me. Okay? And God is like, even if you live 100 years, it's a very short time there. So for the things that I've given you talents to do, do you know that there are people that are dancers that are still dancing in heaven? You know there are people that are singers that are still singing in heaven? Yes. You know there are the people that are writers that are still writers in heaven? Do you guys understand this? You're not going to be missing out on anything. But if I'm the guy that's trying to get you to be institutionalized, I'm going to tell you that this is your last opportunity. God's trying to take it from you. Instead of saying, just let me hold off on this. Because God may have more for me outside of prison than what it's inside of prison.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now I have to go to Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. I was like, Lord, that's too simple Bible study. Where are the numbers? Where are the Hebrew letters? Like, I just want to do a fatherly thing this morning and tell my people to be ready and to take it serious. See, I can't talk to you about Pentecost. You know, you should know about the wheat harvest. You should know we're in the summer. You should know that Jesus said, know that when all these things happen, that summer is near. You should know that. You should feel the heat and go, it's summertime, I need to be alert. You should know that it's only 7 years before the last generation is concluded. You should know that. So all of that stuff, I'm not here to talk to you about. The Lord said, keep it simple. I just want to tell them to be ready and take it serious. It's time.
Amen.
I don't expect to have another message. That's how serious I think this is. I don't expect to have another message. I expect this to actually be it. So understand what I'm trying to tell you is that you're living in the time. Are you in Colossians chapter 3? It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things what? Above. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. When did you die? When you accepted Christ. You are a living sacrifice. You died. So now he's saying, look, get your mind on eternal things. Get your mind on things that matter, right? You got to get your mind on things that matter. Because if Satan can get your mind institutionalized, you're going to only think about what's important here. Okay? So he says, look, I would love to read this in prison right now. Because this is the perfect message to a lot of them knuckleheads when I was in there. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So you have a life that's coming, but you have chosen to accept Christ and put him as the main course on your life so that you can have real life. When you come back to earth, see, I talk like this, and I talk like this because God's shown me so much. I mean, it's just strange the things that God has shown me to let me know there's other things going on in heaven that you humans who are all jacked up on human stuff don't understand. So Satan can get you caught up in all kinds of stuff. But I remember God showing me heaven and all these people walking around on different levels. They look like the biggest, it looked to me like, well, I was like, I was in the biggest mall in the world. Because there was like levels and levels and levels and levels. And there's people walking around everywhere. And they seem to be talking and to other people like they're on the phone or something. And then we'll be here later. And we're going to be praising there later. And everybody's talking. And then I see a mother and a daughter. And they're sitting there and they're drinking something. And the daughter says to the mother, look, we're the same age, Mom. Then I woke up and the Lord, like, I was like, wow. And the Lord said, nobody's here floating on the cloud waiting for y'all to get here. People are here having life. People are here having life. There's nobody there like that. See, you guys watch too much Bugs Bunny. You think everybody's floating with wings and they're just floating around waiting, you know, with a harp. God said people are here having life. Okay? So that was the last vision that God gave me. There are other visions. I landed in beautiful open fields where my friend showed me all the homes that had been built that Christ had built for people. So I mean, like, God has shown me so much that it's hard for me to have my mind set on this when I know that there's more later. And I know that even all of those people that are in heaven right now, they got to come back with us and live 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, you know what happens? The city that Jesus built for us comes down. And then you say, oh, I hope you guys still got your key. Right? Because what he built is not going away. It's not for earth until the end of the millennium. Then the New Jerusalem comes down. So you guys have to understand what's been planned for you. The biggest part of what's been planned is the party. The one day, the trumpet, the party. That's the one thing that's big that's been planned for you. Satan's job is to make sure that you're not even ready to go.
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter. No, I'm going to read this. Hebrews chapter 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Now, this is, I know why I put this here now. The scripture says, so Christ was once offered to bear sins for many, and unto them who look for him shall he appear. So we're supposed to be looking for his glorious appearance, right? Now, I wanted to know, was that a casual word? Because you can just be like, well, I was looking for him to come. But I looked up the word in the Greek. I can't pronounce it. Apekdekomeo. And it reads that you're waiting continuously with an action plan, patiently waiting, but continuously with an action plan. So you're not just waiting. You're working out your salvation while you're ready, while you're waiting, right? It used an English word, and I told you guys, I went to school to play football. Hold up. I got an education while I was there, but it's A-S-S-I-D-U-O-U-S-L-Y. Who knows what that word is? Assiduously. That's the word it said. And I was like, what is that? It means to wait with an action plan. It means to wait while doing. You understand? You're waiting patiently, but you've got an action plan to make sure that when it happens that you're ready. Okay? You're not just waiting around doing your thing. You're waiting around doing what God told you to do so that when the trumpet blows, there's oil in the lamp. See, a plan is like, okay, I know he's coming. I need prayer. See, prayer, when I pray, I can look at my lamp and see it getting full. Okay, when I pray, my lamp is getting full. I look at the oil is rising up. When I read my word, the lamp is getting full. I'm like, how does this work? When I'm doing something for God or doing something for spiritual growth, oil is filling up in my lamp. Then I fire it up and it's burning. And then if I stop doing things for God and stop doing things for spiritual growth, the oil starts burning because the fire is still burning and it's burning the oil. But if I stop filling, it'll soon enough burn out.
Yep.
So this is why this is a consistent thing that we're supposed to be doing. You believe is consistent. You confess is consistent. You praying is consistent. You have a day ahead of you. Prepare for it.
Amen. Good word, Pastor Sandy.
And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, my goodness. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
12 minutes.
Oh, I do? Okay. Here we go. You in Hebrews chapter 2? Because I had one more and I thought, I'm not going to have time, Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, what does it say? It says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a salvation? How shall we escape if we ignore such a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Listen, how are you going to escape tribulation if you ignore? You can't neglect God. You can't. I haven't talked to my son yet. He got a girlfriend. I'm like, look, you know, they like to be attentive. You have to be attentive. You can't neglect. You understand? I want to talk to him. Because if you neglect, somebody else will be like, hey, girl. She got a nice dress on? Tell her she has a nice dress on. Don't wait for somebody else to tell her. You understand? Don't neglect. See, Christianity is the relationship of neglect. It's, do you take God to be your wife? I do. All right, I can go back to being me. No, you can't. You're in a relationship now.
Right.
So now it's time to start paying attention to the relationship that you're in. Why? Because you value it. You want it. You know what I mean? You remember how it was? You're up all night. You're talking to somebody till 2 in the morning. You value that relationship. Next day you call, it's like, I just talked to you till 2 in the morning, and I know it's only 6 in the morning, but I wanted to see how you were. And you guys like, I know you remember. You say goodnight. No, you say goodnight. Yeah. Nobody, I mean, so you, it has to be valued like that. It has to be valued to the point that you don't neglect it. Because people who neglect it, like I told you, I think a couple weeks ago, I saw that deacon that was back in the world, smoking a cigarette with an old English 800. I have to explain that to some people because they're like, what's an old English 800? They don't have commercials, but it's very popular in the hood, all right? So, but I was just wondering, how did he get to that? It was a weird thing for me, being a new Christian, to see somebody who was doing all of these things in the church be in that state. I was like, how did this happen? I just walked away from him. I kept looking back to see if it was really him. I'm like, how did that happen? Neglect.
Yeah.
Little here, yep. Little there, little here, little there, yep. Neglect. You come back, and then she's got another boyfriend. You're like, what? I was only gone for 3 weeks. Neglect. I didn't call you for 2 weeks, but isn't that mean I neglect? Mm-hmm. I found somebody that calls me daily.
Well.
You understand? See, we can understand from human terms what God wants. Because, what? Sma Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, right? And you shall love me with all your heart, with all your strength.
Yes.
Right? So this is God saying, look, I don't just want you to be number one. I want you to love me with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your actions. Sounds like God is like Drea, or Drea is like God. Because that's what we want in relationships. God wants you to be ready. You understand? There's no such thing. Thank you, Pastor Ben, because I'll be talking too much. All right, we got to go back to Isaiah, and then we're going to finish up here. Isaiah chapter 56. The Lord has given me this warning, okay? How are you going to be ready? How is it that you can be sure that you're ready? Okay. The first thing you're going to do to be sure that you're ready is you're going to refocus. You're going to refocus. You're going to make Christ first and other things second. You're going to refocus. Okay? Listen. If a person tithes, how much do they give to God?
10%.
Okay? So look, God has never said, every morning you wake up, you better give me 100% of all your time every day. That's not God. But you make him first and you give him what he's due. You understand? And so what I'm trying to say is that you know how to be in a relationship. You just have to do it.
Amen.
Okay, you're in Isaiah chapter 56. It's in verse 9. Because this is what the Lord has said. You guys, this is going to make you fall. It's going to make you fall. Because YouTube, you know what YouTube does? See, if a drug dealer ever gives you some free stuff, it's not because they like you. You understand? They gave us YouTube for free. Do you understand? The people on YouTube are drug dealers.
Yeah.
They did not give you YouTube because they're your friends. They want you to like it first. And then they want you to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want you to can't live without it. You understand? The Lord has shown me that YouTube is an open door to satanic, bad teaching, bad doctrine, 50 million more ideas. It seems like it's good if you're mature enough to handle it, what to spit out and what to chew.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, which a lot of Christians aren't, you get caught up in it, and then everybody who just mentions God, you're glued in. Anybody, there was a thing in back Saturday Night Live. Remember this?
Yeah.
Remember they would have this shark. He would come to the door and knock on the door because he wanted the people to open the door so he could eat them.
Right.
So they would be playing the music, right?
Right.
Dun, 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 dun. And he'd walk down the house hall and then he'd come to the door and he'd knock on the door. And then the people inside would go, who is it? And he'd go, Avon lady. And they'd go, and the lame people inside would go, we didn't order anything from Avon, go away. And then the shark would like, ah. And then you hear the music again. Doom, 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 doom. And then he'd knock on the door again. Who is it? Pizza man. And then they would go, we didn't order any pizzas. Let me walk away. So he'd keep coming back until he said something that would get you to open the door. Then the people would open the door and he'd go, ah. And then he'd bite them and start chewing them. It was funny back there,
back
right? But the Lord has shown me, like, this is what we're doing, right? There's a lot of people knocking at your door now, right?
Right.
So I realize for the group that follows S4C, all a person has to do is say, I believe in the rapture. Knock, knock, knock. I believe in the rapture. Oh, come on in. I just want to talk to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rapture comes with a doctrine.
Right.
The rapture comes with a doctrine. It's just not, don't just believe in a rapture. You got to believe in what Jesus Christ taught.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
So you can't choose whatever doctrine you want.
Yeah.
You can't say, I don't have to be ready when Jesus comes, even though Jesus says I need to be ready. I don't have to watch. Because once saved, I'm always saved. So I don't need to be doing this. And I can be in fornication. And I can do this because I already said I do. And you can start picking up another doctrine because somebody's preaching. Rapture, open the door, Avon lady. And we open the door.
Yep.
And God is like, he led me to this scripture. Here it is. Isaiah 56. And it's verse 9. And it says this, come, all you beasts of the field, come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are asleep, are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn their own way. Each seeks his own. Come, each one cries, let us drink wine. So listen to what the Lord is showing me. A lot of people that preach the gospel are not doing it for the right reason and don't care about you.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
I think that was the first time I mentioned tithes in about 5 years. And to me, if you do this for money, you're a hireling. You know what a hireling is? They're doing it for money, not for the love of the people. Mm-hmm. Understand? So I wouldn't let anybody just come in here and preach to you.
Right.
Because I don't want a hireling to preach to you.
Right.
I don't want a hireling to be part of your YouTube menu. Because some of them only preach because they're monetized.
Right.
You understand? The scripture says to not forsake the assembling of us together, right? I mentioned that and one person said, please, Pastor, don't make me go back to church. Now that I found S4C, I'm learning the Bible. What can I say? I want them to assemble. But you're going to have to find the place where the shepherd really cares about the people and not you're going somewhere just to go to church, just to have fun, just to be seated there, just to be, he's asleep, so you're asleep. He is not paying attention, so you're not paying attention. So now, if you sit in that environment, when you get to heaven, guess who's not going to be there? The hireling. The bad pastor is not going to be there at your judgment day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even mention him.
Right.
You understand? So now it comes back to you. You're the one that accepted Christ. You're the one that came to Christ. So now you're the one that's going to have to be responsible for keeping the relationship going and making sure that you are ready.
Yeah.
I'm out of time, man.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know I'm out of time, but I just want to say this one thing. Jesus says, make sure that you are ready when that day comes. You understand? Mm-hmm. Pray that you are ready when that day comes. He has shown us how to be ready. Okay? The world wants you to forget about what's in front of you so you get focused on what's here, okay? You got all these plans, so much that you don't even have time to plan for Jesus. Refocus, because the Lord said this to me this morning, and this is it. Tell my people, be ready. Take it serious, because it's time. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.